Good morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. Good to see you today. And happy Father's Day. Today is part 15 in our series, Bodybuilding. Hope you're ready to do some bodybuilding today. This is a series in a letter that's found in the New Testament of the Bible, letter called Ephesians. It was written by the Apostle Paul, former persecutor of the church. And in this series, we've learned that as a Christian, you are a new person in Christ, and therefore there is a matching lifestyle that goes along with this new status. We've learned that a Christ follower must shed the old lifestyle like a filthy set of clothes. Take that off and put on the new clothing, which is the new lifestyle of a Christ follower. And that is a lifestyle that stands in contrast to the lifestyle of the world. We shine brightly for Christ. We've been learning that a Jesus follower must come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's called being filled with the Spirit. The Spirit's power brings radical changes in your lifestyle. And today, Paul continues to explain to us what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's still talking about this. He's been talking about it since the middle of chapter 5. And today he's continuing to explain its implications for the family. And when he comes to the last thing on the list of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's in verse 21. He says, and further about being filled with the Holy Spirit, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, last Sunday, we learned that for married couples, this means submitting to one another in our God-given roles of husband and wife. And today, Paul kind of pulls the camera back a little bit to get a wider view of the family and being filled with the Spirit. And he talks about kids, children, dads, moms being filled with the Spirit in regard to their roles. Today's message is entitled Family Matters, and I'm focusing especially on dad today. Now, maybe you're not a dad, but you have a dad. Everybody has a dad. And so this message applies, and we're all children, are we not? And so this message applies to all of us. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else I say, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. A Jesus-following family homeschools round the clock. You're a homeschooling family. You may have your kids in the public schools or in a private school, but if you're a Christian family, you're a homeschooling family. We're looking at three fundamentals of a Jesus-following family today. First, number one on your outline is kids obey parents. Now, when Paul's letter arrived in the city of Ephesus at the church, there would be a designated reader who would stand up in front of the congregation and read the letter out loud. Not everybody in the congregation would know how to read. And of course, they didn't all have their own copies. And so he would read it aloud to the congregation, this reader. In Paul's day, churches met in homes. And so the letter would be passed around to be read in the various house churches in the city of Ephesus and around the city of Ephesus. The whole church was called the Church at Ephesus, but they would meet in various locations. But what stands out like a sore thumb in this letter here is that Paul speaks directly to the kids in the congregation. Notice verse 1. And please help me when we come to the yellow print. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. A leader talking to kids in an open setting like this, where adults are present, I want you to notice these things might not seem strange to us, but to the original audience, these were strange. These were countercultural things. We're going to look at some oddball observations here. They're on your outline. Kids were not addressed in documents like this. Maybe this isn't on your outline, but it should be. All right, so maybe you want to write it in there. Kids were not addressed in documents like this. In a Gentile writer, if he was writing this, and these are mostly Gentiles in this church, and he wanted to tell the kids to obey, he'd tell the fathers to make the kids obey. He wouldn't address the kids. But Paul assumes the kids are right there, listening with the parents in the church meeting. It's interesting. He says, because you belong to the Lord. B in the oddball observations, Paul includes the girls here. Notice he says children. He doesn't just say sons, which would be the typical thing to do. Among Gentiles, girls were usually sequestered from gatherings, at least until they were 14 years old. But not in the Christian community. Both boys and girls are addressed as part of the church. He says, because you belong to the Lord, he says. You see, Christianity doesn't just raise the status of women, which we saw last week. It also raises the status of children. Boys and girls, all humans, were regarded with dignity, not just a certain gender, not just a certain age group. And then the third observation here, the whole family needs Christian education, Christian instruction. Parents and kids are disciples. Now, Christians broke new ground here with this kind of admonition. This is why at Stony Creek Church, and of course many, many churches, we have a whole ministry that is dedicated to children, a children's ministry. We have a whole wing that's the children's ministry. Everything upstairs is children's ministry, and some of the downstairs as well. And this week, what do we have but VBS, Vacation Bible School? And of course, that's directed especially to kids. It's a great thing. It's a treat. And if you have kids and you haven't signed them up yet for Vacation Bible School, please do that. Register them today. Go to my.stonycreek.church and register your kids, because they've got a great program plan. This is going to be a wonderful experience for them that they can take with them for the rest of their lives. Yet, in this letter, this is the only time Paul addresses the children. And the only thing he tells them to do is obey your parents. He doesn't even tell them Jesus loves them. I'm sure their parents told them that. told them the stories about Jesus taking the kids onto his lap and putting his hands on them and blessing them. But Paul doesn't even remind them of that here. He just tells them, obey your parents, honor your parents. Now, if this were just an ordinary pastor or missionary or just, you know, an ordinary letter, we might excuse Paul. We might think, well, look, you know, this guy, he's never had kids, you know? He's an old guy. He was raised a Jewish background. And, you know, he's not that sensitive to what's going on in the lives of kids. But we can't get away with that here, because Paul, you see, is only the human writer of this letter. The other author is God. Every scripture, every book of the Bible, every verse of the Bible is co-authored. Did you know that? All scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is God-breathed. It is His word. And so you've got the human author and you've got the divine author. And of course, the Holy Spirit knows infinitely more about raising children than all the experts in the world combined. He knows what they need to hear. And so when the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to say just a few words to the kids, he orders them to obey, right? Well, what does this tell us? It tells us that obedience to parents is very important to God. And remember, parents were sitting right there in the congregation as these words were read. And undoubtedly, they some of them at least, nudged their kids a little bit and said, see, a Jesus follower is supposed to obey parents, right? You know, kids need rules. They need guidelines and boundaries and structure. Of course, it has to be done in the right way. But it's important that they learn to show respect and obey the rules, clean up after themselves. A child who doesn't obey his parents is headed for trouble later in life. Dad and mom, be encouraged. It's okay to lay down the law and enforce it. Our kids need us to be their parents, not just their friends, right? They got friends. They'll always have friends, but they need parents. That's important. Now, if you're looking for some excellent Christian guidance on raising your kids and appropriate discipline, what that looks like, I highly recommend the resources at Focus on the Family, their website. It's just one word, focusonthefamily.com. They have, oh, just incredibly helpful videos and articles on everything from raising and disciplining kids to all kinds of marriage issues and so forth. It's really a great resource. And they also have counselors that you can call. I believe it's 24/7 that you can call and ask advice. It's really good stuff. Focus on the Family. Highly recommend it. Let's look at the second fundamental of a Jesus following family. Number two on your outline. Adults honor dad and mom. Adults. See, we're all children. And this is where we come in. A guy said to me once, my dad is dead. But if I ever visit his grave, I'll pull down my pants and crap on it. That's what he said. Well, you know, really. Obviously, this friend of mine has some major issues with his dad. And if I could fix that about him, I would. But it reminded me that some of us didn't have a very good upbringing. Some of us may have been neglected or abused or abandoned. Maybe our parents required us to do wrong things. And we don't have many good memories. Well, of course, the same was true back in Paul's day. In fact, a father under Roman law could do just about anything he wanted with his kid. He could beat him, he could put him to death. Really, legally. He could sell his kid. If he didn't like him, sell him. Many parents would throw their unwanted newborn children just on the garbage dump. Wrong gender, toss it out. Has some deformities, throw it out. Yet despite the widespread reality of lousy parents back then, Paul says, honor your father and mother. And then he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. Help me. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Honor your father and mother. In our culture, our culture has rebelled against the whole idea of honor. Words like chain of command, hierarchy, patriarchy, authority are sure to generate a scowl or a dirty look if you bring them up. You're safer dropping an F-bomb than saying a word like that. Even in evangelical Christian circles, these words are almost always cast in a negative light. It's a disturbing trend. But despite the abuses, guess what? God is still Father. And the church family is a patriarchy with God at the top, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can't get around that. That's eternal. If you don't like it, get over it. It is what it is. God wants us to respect the chain of command, those who are in authority over us, whether it's the governing authorities, like the president, the governor, and so forth, or church leaders, or in the case of children, parents. Children are to obey their parents. Grown-up adults, we're still required to honor our father and mother. You know, you can honor without agreeing. You can honor without affirming everything that your parents do. It might be wrong, but you can honor them. You can show respect. Even if a person is not what we would call a respectable person, you can show respect because you respect that office, you see. The Apostle Paul here is quoting from the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, that's the fifth commandment. Made it all the way to the top 10. Must be pretty important to God to do this. Today, of course, is Father's Day, and I know some of us tragically haven't had the best of fathers, but most of us have had good fathers, honorable fathers. And get this, if even a non-honorable father should be honored, how much more should we honor the good fathers, your dad who did a good job raising you. We should heap honor on them by the truckload. Heap it on. My dad is now with the Lord. He's been with the Lord since 1992. And the older I get, the more I miss him, and the better I understand him. I was in my 30s when he died, my early 30s, and I can see now that even then, I was, of course, an adult, but I didn't understand him then as well as I do now. And I appreciate him. I wish I had appreciated him more. His presence, his support, his wisdom in my life. I can't wait to see him and just give him a big bear hug and thank him. Thank him profusely for his presence in my life. As a dad, let me suggest a few simple ways you can honor your dad. And this, I know, is on your outline. First, make it a point to honor him today, or at least his memory. Maybe he's gone, but honor him. If he's not around to show him that honor, then maybe tell a story, a memory to your family about him, to honor him. If possible, visit him today. Second, tell him you love him. Maybe he's not the sort of person to tell you that, but you tell him. Next, tell him how he's blessed your life. Get specific. List some things. Next, forgive your dad. Even if he doesn't ask for it, chances are he wasn't perfect. No dad is, even the best of them. And so don't hold a grudge. Forgive him. Next, ask his forgiveness. If you've dissed him, if you haven't given him the honor that is due him, then ask him. Say, Dad, I haven't always honored you as I should. Forgive me. Next, hug him. He needs it. Take it from a dad. He needs it. Honor your dad. The scripture says, if you honor your father and mother, and of course mom deserves all this too, right? Okay, not trying to diss her here, but this is Father's Day, so we're emphasizing that. He says, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Now, this is what we might call a rule of thumb. It's a general rule. Good relationships in the home lead to a longer and better life. That just kind of stands to reason. It doesn't mean that if a child dies, oh, that means that child must have been disobedient, because this verse says they'll live a long life. No, I mean, look, Jesus himself died at a relatively young age. He didn't have a long natural life. And yet, he certainly was an obedient child. He was as good as they come, right? In Paul's day, get this, 50% of the kids died by their sixth birthday. And so if you saw a family with five kids that are over the age of six, or maybe in their teens, you might very justly conclude, well, they probably lost as many as they have here. But Christ, He promises more than this life. So the commentaries all say, now this is just a general rule, but I don't buy that. I think he's talking to Christians here. I think he's talking to the believer in Jesus, the Christ follower. And the Christ follower, long or short life, will enjoy eternity with God in the new heaven and the new earth. That is the ultimate fulfillment of this promise. And that's a long life. That's a long life. Let's look at the third fundamental of a Jesus-following family. And that is, Dad is the spiritual leader. No question. Kids need a father. Dad, you're irreplaceable. Your presence in the home is life-giving. It is priceless. One of the biggest problems in our culture is fatherless homes. This is not widely talked about these days, but it is very true. Look at, according to the U.S. Department of Justice, fatherless kids account for 63% of youth suicides, 90% of youth runaways, 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes, 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 75% of rapists come from fatherless homes. 85% that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Guys, just by showing up, just by showing up, you put your kids ahead. But in our text, Paul speaks directly to the Jesus-following dad. Notice, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Again, Paul surprises us. Given the strictness of parents back in those days, we'd expect Paul to say, now, you kids, don't make your dad angry. Don't provoke your father to anger. If he's going to address the kids, that's what he would most likely say, if you go along with the culture of the day. But no, Paul tells dads not to provoke their kids to anger. This is really countercultural. And we all know people who are angry with their dads. We've met them. You may be one yourself. And that can scar you for life. Let me just list a few ways that dads can anger their kids. So these are things to watch out for, to not do. By overreacting in angry blow-ups. By preferring work or entertainment over them. By using harsh words, insults, or sarcasm. By inappropriate teasing. Oh, that's a convicting one for me because I always like to tease and sometimes I go overboard, all right? By comparing them negatively to other kids and by unreasonable expectations. And guys, when we fail in these areas, we need to ask our kids to forgive us. That might be long overdue. And if this is a habit, if any of these is a habit for you, for us, we need to get accountability to get this out of our lives. get a partner up with an accountability person and say, this is something I need to work on because I'm struggling in this area. Now, that's what not to do. But equally important is what Paul tells dads to do. He says in verse 4, rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. According to Paul, the buck stops for spiritual instruction with dad. Now, of course, mom plays a major role too, but Paul specifically identifies dads as the spiritual leaders, the one responsible to make sure that it happens in the home. Guys, we need to lead the way, especially in being a Jesus-like example in the home. Every kid should grow up knowing what a genuine Jesus follower looks like. He should be able to say, my dad. He follows Jesus like nobody I've ever seen. That's number one, setting the example. And of course, also teaching the kids the scriptures, doing devotionals with them, reading to them at night before they go to bed, bringing them to church regularly, making all of life a 24/7 home school for learning about Jesus. Notice especially, he says, the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. The wording here in the Greek indicates that this instruction comes from the Lord Jesus himself. And you, Dad, are imparting that to your kids. I love this because it presupposes that Dad isn't just passing on some data, you know, some dry facts to his kids. This is what you need to know, like teaching them math or something. No, it's way more than that. He's imparting from the Lord what the Lord has taught him. Dad has this personal relationship with the Lord, and he's imparting that to his kids so that they know that this is not an autocratic tyrant who huffs and puffs his way around the house and rules his kids with a rod of iron. This is a patient, loving dad who knows what it's like, who remembers what it's like to be a kid, and knows what it's like to be a child of the Father and to make mistakes and to feel guilty and to have to go to the Father for forgiveness. And so he can be merciful and patient and direct them when they're feeling that way to go to the Father for forgiveness. God the Father sent his only Son so that we could be forgiven and saved. And then Jesus arose from the dead. Do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you have that personal relationship with him? We're going to move now into our celebration of the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to ask the elders to help us with the distribution of the elements, and Chris as well. So we're a little short-handed with elders today. This is a very special moment that the scripture describes when we remember what the Lord did for us. This is not just a formality or a ritual. It's a meaningful observation. What we're saying when we take these elements into ourselves is I've taken Christ into myself. I've ingested him, as it were. I've brought him into my life so that he will sustain me because he's my Lord. He died for me. This bread represents his broken body. This juice represents his blood shed for us. And so if you're a Jesus follower, you're invited to this table. But don't partake if you haven't washed up. Scripture says we've got to examine ourselves before we partake of the bread and of the cup. And what this means is that we repent of and forsake our sins and get cleaned up before dinner. So let's take a moment now to confess before the Lord and prepare ourselves to remember him with this celebration. Let's bow for prayer. Father, what a privilege it is to come to you as Father. And that's because of what your Son did to bridge the gap. His work on the cross paid the penalty for our sins so we could be reconciled to you. We could be brought into a father-child relationship with you and enjoy your presence, to enjoy that freedom of the children of God. We could know you and serve you, not just during this natural life, but throughout eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. We confess to you our sins, and we put them behind us. We remember that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we remember that this bread signifies that broken body of Jesus, and his blood is represented in this cup. And so, Lord, we ask that you bless this to our bodies and to our souls, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you remember that the night Jesus died, he instituted for us what we call the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "For what I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's remember the Lord together. Paul goes on to say, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let's remember the Lord together. If you would, please stand with me. We're going to close our service with a song. And just remember to throw this out on the way out. And if you need some prayer or spiritual counsel, we've got the members of our pastoral prayer team down here ready to assist you, waiting to assist you, wanting to assist you. So come on down.